Today's gospel lesson picks up the story right where we left off last week. After the baptism of Jesus by his cousin John the Baptist. The next day, we see John and a few of his disciples are together as Jesus approaches. We hear John say to the disciples, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And again the day after, we hear John exclaiming, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." John has to tell them 2 days in a row that Jesus is the Lamb of God. I so identify with that. I mean, sometimes you have to hear something twice before it sinks in. Just saying. And finally, after hearing it twice, they finally get it. And they start following Jesus instead of John. But they follow him at a distance. Maybe they are just curious. Maybe they are uncertain what John's story about baptizing Jesus really means. Whatever their reasons, these two disciples stay far enough behind Jesus that I'm sure they were surprised when he turned around and faced them. "What are you looking for?" he asks. These are the first words Jesus speaks in John's gospel. We heard the opening verse of John on Christmas Eve. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." But the Word doesn't actually utter a word until 38 verses later. And when he speaks, it's a simple but profound question. When Jesus asks Andrew and the other disciples, "What are you looking for?" it means a lot more than just, "Can I help you find something? Is there some object you've lost?" Jesus is really asking, "What are you searching for in life? What is your soul's deepest desire? What are you seeking with all of your being? What are you looking for?" Jesus asks us the same question. What do you seek? What are you hunting for to sanctify your soul's deep longing? He still wants to know because we are really good at looking for all the wrong things in all the wrong places. What are you looking for? What will satisfy your deepest need? What will bring you joy? When Jesus asked John's disciples, "What are you looking for?" the disciples don't give him a thoughtfully prepared mission statement, but they know what they are looking for. They know that the thing they've been seeking is this man standing in front of them. They respond with a question of their own. They only want to know, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Again, this means more than, "What's your current address?" They are really asking, "Teacher, what is it like to abide with you? Is there room for us in your life? Can we come live where you live? Will you teach us?" Because we are looking for something to devote our lives to. We are looking for someone who will teach us the things of God. If you are who John says you are, we want to spend every possible moment in your presence. Where are you abiding so we can abide with you? And Jesus invites them to come and see. He doesn't give them a business card with an address they can follow later. He invites them immediately into his life. He does this with the understanding that they may choose not to follow. Once they've seen his accommodations and have had a taste of his teaching, They may not want to stay, but his invitation is open anyway. Come and see. When Jesus says, "What are you looking for?" he's asking us if we are ready to be disciples. If we are looking for acceptance into the cool kids club or recognition for belonging to the most popular leader's inner circle, we might not be ready to ask where Jesus lives. But if we want to be with him day in and day out from this moment and for all eternity, if we recognize that following Jesus is the only way to know the fullness of God's love, then it just makes sense for us to want to spend every moment in Christ's presence, asking, "Where are you abiding? Can I stay with you?" puts a different twist on our usual thinking about becoming a Christian. We often talk about making Jesus part of our lives, inviting him into our hearts to live with us. But what if we turn that around and realize that Jesus is welcoming us into his life? Jesus invites us to come and see where he lives. He offers us the opportunity to become part of what he is doing. Jesus invites us to join him in his life. His invitation is open, but it is up to us to follow, up to us to come and see. We must decide if we can make that kind of commitment, if we can devote ourselves to that type of close relationship. It means letting go of our own desires and expectations and surrendering our whole being to God's desire and plan for us. What are you seeking with all your being? What is your soul's deep longing? Are you ready to go to be a part of Jesus' life so you can find what you seek? Once you've found Christ, what happens next? Andrew shows us. Notice that it doesn't take long for Andrew to go find his brother Simon. And the instant Jesus meets Simon, he gives him a new name, Cephas, which is translated Peter, or rock. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus waits until later in his ministry to rename Peter. And he goes on to say, "On this rock, I will build my church." But here, Jesus gives him a new name the moment he meets him. Jesus gives each of us a new name the moment he meets us too. We are called beloved and child of God. Jesus gives us another name, a specific one, just as he renamed Simon to indicate what his new mission in life would be. Maybe your name is servant, or healer, or prayer warrior, or teacher. Maybe you've been named reconciler, or leader, or joy bringer. Whatever your new name is, it is an invitation to live into your new identity as a follower of Jesus in a particular way. It may take a couple of times hearing someone else say, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," before you realize that following Jesus wherever he goes, living with him more than allowing him to live with you, is the only way you are ever going to find what you are seeking. When will God stop loving us, stop feeding us, stop protecting us, stop nurturing us? Never. When will God give up on us, leave us to our fate, and sell us out to that which would destroy us? Never. What are we looking for? Nothing that we thought was important but everything that we most want and need. Where do we find it? Where Andrew and Simon, James, John, and the others found it, in Christ our Lord. The great invitation has been extended to you. Come and see. Amen.